in the Pattern Podcast. Make left traffic, clear for the option.
Minneapolis departure, Archer 641, Charlie 2000, climbing 3000.
Line up and wait, 7 range, 4 by Delta.
Marcel 172, Romeo Hotel, hold short on 133, ready to take off.
Albert Delta 3321, Mike, enemy downwind for runway 25.
I'm John.
I'm Chris.
I'm Brad.
And I'm Mark.
And we are the In the Pattern Podcast.
Hey, welcome to episode 49 of the In the Pattern Podcast. This is Chris. Along with me tonight is John Conway. And that's it.
Hey, it's just the two of us.
Though I've already used that title. Just the two of us. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was, you and Brad, right?
Yeah, me and Brad.
Yeah.
I must say, it's been quite the... I don't really know how to phrase it. It's been interesting trying to schedule these the past couple months.
It's tough, and it's not, you know, summer's over, the kids are back in school, things have should have gotten back to normal for most of us, but life gets in the way.
Yeah, so we've been trying to schedule, so we missed one. I think it's been a month since we recorded, but I'm going to get together and get something for you.
We apologize. But anywho, John's had a chance to go fly. I've had a chance to go fly, so we can talk a little bit about that. And you know, in the meantime, we can, you know, call our partners names or something, since they're not here to defend themselves.
All right. Let's get to
it. Okay. All right.
You went flying?
I went flying, and you went flying.
Yeah. Where'd you go? What'd you do? Did you just do one flight?
Yeah, I just did one flight.
That's it?
You know, it's funny. I've got a list of people as long as my arm that's always bugging me to go flying until you ask them. And then there's always, then they've always got something else, you know, oh, I already got this plan. I'm not a very good planner when it comes to this. It's like Wednesday I'll go, hey, you want to go flying Saturday? And that's usually enough time. But every once in a while you run up to people who also have plans. So
I've only had that with my grandmother.
Grandma's always ready to go.
No, she's the only one that had we tried a couple times, and I always had somebody else as a backup. But I tried 3 times.
I'll darn near cancel a flight unless I can get someone to go fly with me.
No, I'll still go, but I generally can find somebody pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's just so much more fun with someone else in the cockpit to share the experience with. So, anyways, I took up my buddy Sal. And Sal works in the cafe at the church, and he's been asking to go for quite some time, and I've asked him a couple other times, and it didn't work out for whatever reason, but this time he goes, you know, you keep asking, I keep saying I got other things to do, we're going this time. So he met me up at the airport around 6 in the morning on Saturday, and we headed down to Coolidge, and if you've heard me talk about this before, Coolidge has a pancake breakfast fly-in the first Saturday of each month. So this was just last Saturday. So that was pretty cool, and Sal had never been in a small plane before, so that was cool. I wish, you know what, since Oshkosh or sometime thereabouts, I've ended up losing my little digital voice recorder.
Oh, no.
I don't know where it's at. I need to buy a new one. So, therefore, I won't do any video of flying because I don't like in-cockpit videos of, you know, either engine noise or just someone playing some Britney Spears over the, you know, the music or what, or the video.
Just shorten them a little bit.
Yeah, I need the ATC and the comms. You know, I want to feel like I'm in the plane. So, if I can't find my audio equipment, then there's no video, unfortunately.
Could always throw up some live ATC and just do some cuts. And
well, I'd have some of that, too, because we took off out of Glendale early that morning, right at sunrise. It was beautiful. Nice, calm day. And,
it's too early.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to get down there fast because you got to beat the rush because there's typically 75 to 100 people trying to fly in there in about a two-hour time span. So I wanted to try and beat the rush because I wanted to get back down to the runway and then take pictures because, you know, that's how I roll. So we took off about 6:30, 6:45-ish. Sun was just coming up. Did a little transition across the Phoenix Bravo. That's always fun. Get a hold of those guys and cross over the airport. Sal was all excited about that. From there, just headed on over to Coolidge. It's only about a, I don't know, 40-minute flight once you're in the air from one location to the other, so it doesn't really take all that long to get there. And luckily I got there, you know, right in the beginning of things. There wasn't that much traffic going on. I didn't cut anybody off, luckily, this time. That has happened in the past, I will admit that. Not on purpose, but it just happens. Some people communicate on the radio better than others. That's all I'm saying. They do communicate once you cut them off. I'll tell you that for sure. They might not have found the mic up until the point you swing in front of them as you're entering the downwind on the 45.
Of course.
But up in, yeah, all of a sudden they find the mic. Up until then, they're a stealth. Yeah, entered the downwind and was only one guy in front of me, so it didn't nice little. I was surprised at the landing, I gotta say, because my flying this summer has been abysmal. I mean, I've been holding off to fly that Mooney, and it just not happening yet. So I'm like flying like once every couple of months, it seems like, at most. Where before I used to, you know, I was going up at least once a month, maybe twice a month when I got lucky, but. So anyways, I nailed a really nice landing. I surprised myself. Sal was like, whoa! You know, he was all,
nice,
he was all excited
nice.
About that. So,
do you hope a sign next to you?
Yeah, right.
Three.
Hey, you know, it was funny. As I'm on very, very short final, just crossing over the threshold there, there was a couple of my friends down there with cameras taking pictures, so I had to wave at them as going by. So I got a little... They sent me a picture of me flying or landing and then waving at the same time.
Yeah, I saw that. I need to. I'm gonna have to put that in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll send that over to you.
I should actually start the show notes. So send that to me.
All right. So I landed and tied down the airplane. At that point, there was only I don't know, maybe six other airplanes there. There was two Storches, which was kind of cool.
Two, you what? What no.
A Storch.
Never heard of it.
They, look it up. A real goofy looking gangly landing gear. And who was flying one of those Storches, you ask? Kirby Chambliss.
Nice.
He lives close by, so he was down there. I didn't see him because as soon as I landed, I grabbed my camera gear and I headed down to the runway to take pictures. And in the meantime, Sal was walking around talking to people and checking out the airplanes that was coming in and stuff. I said, I'll be down there taking pictures. I'm not interested in pancake breakfast this morning, but have at it, you know. I said, if you want to come down and hang out with me, cool. If not, feel free to walk around. So he hung out up there, and I'm kind of kicking myself now that I didn't, you know, look around up there before I headed down there, or else I would have ran into Kirby. The only reason I knew he was there is because afterwards he posted some Facebook pictures of him there with the Storch. So I was like, dang it. Anyways, it's down there for, I don't know, probably, let's see, was there until 9:30, 10 o'clock? Yep, that's the plane. John just sent me over a Wikipedia. That is.
Yep,
how do you like that landing gear?
That's interesting, and that is right in the show notes now. Yeah.
It's got some give to it.
It's
an interesting one.
So you have like an 8-foot ladder to get in there? I mean,
I know. Yeah, you must have to climb up that landing gear to get in that thing.
But, and they're so straight down. It's just odd.
Yeah, the angle of, you know, well, you see how long that fuselage is too. So the good thing is that it's not exactly pointing straight up and down when the tail's on the ground. But yeah, it's got some legs to it.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, we hung out down there until about 10 o'clock, and then we headed back because there was another person that had the plane at 11. So we took off and kind of did a takeoff and stay in ground effect, full power to the end of the runway, and did a nice little quick pull up and a bank to the right, you know. Sal took Sal by surprise just a little bit there. And headed back to Phoenix, through the Bravo again, back to Glendale. Another pretty decent landing. I was impressed with the landings myself, considering how little I've been in the plane. I need to get out there and at least do some touch and goes or something. What I need to do is go get night current again.
Yeah.
You did that not too long ago, didn't you?
No, that was Brad.
Oh. Okay.
It's been since, actually, give me a second, 2011. It was in February.
Wow.
And, yeah, because I was still night current then, I did 2.3 hours. So it was, February 18th, 2011. And that was the one I did with Tim. We went to Frederick and it was, windy as anything.
At night?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, I think it would be really, really pretty, where you are with all the, you know, the city and the lights and everything.
It is. I mean, one of my flights flying, what was it for? It was, one of my cross countries at night that we were doing for my flight training. We ended up, I was on IFR actually, because my instructor was doing that, and so I was just flying the plane to getting some instrument time out of it. And we flew right over Baltimore because since we were on IFR, we were allowed in the Bravo, and they routed us through. So it was nice.
Yeah, I think it looked pretty good, pretty cool there, because the city's pretty good size where you're at, right?
Yeah, it's not terribly large. It's actually smaller than you think it is, but yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
And
what's the population around there? Phoenix Metro with all the small cities around 5 million.
Oh, I'm not even close to that.
No.
Yeah. I want to say we're like 2 million in Maryland, maybe.
Mm.
No, not even. Yeah, Maryland's 5.9 million. Baltimore says Baltimore proper is 622,000.
Oh, wow. I really thought that was a lot larger than that.
And D.C. is 646,000. I mean, the problem is it's like the size of the city itself. It's deceptively different. What the actual Baltimore metro area itself is probably much larger. Hmm. But that's the actual in the city itself.
I see.
Which I'm not even close to. So.
Hmm. I got to do a little bit of hangar flying with a friend of mine. He sent me a text one day or an email. He's like, "Hey Chris, you got time to go over to Deer Valley Airport? I want to introduce you to some a pilot friend of mine who's got a cool hangar. I think you'd enjoy it." And I said, "Yeah, you had me at pilot friend. Let's go." so we went over there, and his name's Barry, and he's got a 182 RG turbo, and it's all red. Well, it's red and white, I guess. Red leather interior, and it's over at Deer Valley, and his hangar is really cool. He's got about 120 pictures inside his hangar that's all framed.
That's cool.
You know, places he's went, or you know, in flight, you know, pictures or whatever. The back of his hangar, the whole back of his hangar, is a vinyl banner that's a photograph of a short final at Sedona, and it's like 40 feet wide and about 12 feet tall, and it goes end to end to the back of his hangar. It's really cool, except for Deer Valley wants him to take it down because they, you know, consider it a fire hazard. Whatever.
Hmm.
He's got some nice leather chairs in there and a refrigerator and just pictures everywhere. And then the one side of his hangar is nothing but charts. I think they're, what do you call it?
Just VFR sectionals?
Sectionals, yeah. Yeah, regular VFR sectionals.
You sure you went flying last Saturday?
Yeah, for the whole I didn't really use one of those, sorry. I haven't bought one since 2012. He's got VFR sectionals end to end to make up the whole United States on one side of his wall. And that's pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome. That's mm-hmm. a lot of charts.
Yeah, it's a lot of charts. He's flown his plane from Phoenix all the way down through the Bahamas. He showed me this. He's got one of those Garmin Verve cameras, you know.
Yeah.
With the GPS on it and everything.
Yeah.
He showed me this video of him flying over the water around the islands as low as 10 feet off the water at 150 knots.
Hmm.
it was pretty sick, but clearly dangerous. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, looking for a flight with Barry someday in his 182RG. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a nice little airplane. I take take one of those.
Yeah, that's like SUV with retractable gear and
yeah,
the big engine and yeah, that'll get you somewhere. What else? How about a Mooney update?
I saw pics.
It's flying.
Oh, Mooney, man.
It's back in the air. Did you see that leather interior?
I did. You'll have to send me a pic of that so we can drop that in the show notes as well.
Oh, my goodness. So Franz has now, you know, all the seats have been re-leathered. All of the plastic has been leathered. So from end to end, the panels, the ceiling, and the seats are leather. New carpeting, of course, and the glare shield dash has been re-leathered. It's incredible looking inside. Once he gets the money to do the panel, watch out. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So it's funny. The other day, last week, I think it was Thursday last week, he's texting me, "Hey Chris, are you at work?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm at work." And then he texts, "Come outside." So I was going outside and I expect him. He goes, "Yeah, come outside." So I was expecting to see him like in his Ariel Atom or something like that, one of the new cars or something. And I'm walking out there and he's not there. And I'm thinking, well, is he in the parking lot? So I'm walking out and all of a sudden I hear, and I look up and here he's flying over top of me, banking hard, you know, turning back towards Glendale. And I was like, "Do it!" And I'm texting him, "Do it again! Do it again!" He goes, "So I can get a pick." He goes, "The mode C is not working, or else I would." So something's wrong with the transponder. So they were heading back to Deer Valley. I mean, Glendale. So that was pretty cool. But they got that fixed. It was just a bad connection. Oh, but so he was sitting right seat, and left seat was our instructor, who's also was, you know, the mechanic on most of this deal. And anyways, they go to take it up, and he goes, "All right, jump in." And he's like, "You're flying left seat, not me." You know, first of all, it's been a while since he's piloted the Mooney. Second of all, it just had all that work done. He didn't want to be left seat PIC in this plane. So he jumps in, right? And they're going through the pre-flight check, and he's checking the controls if they're all free and correct, right? And he can't pull it back. He can't pull the yoke back. It's like only comes so far and then it stops. And he's like, "What the heck?" And he reaches under there and a flashlight was left underneath the dash.
Oh, wow.
And it was wedging in between the movement of the yoke. So, yeah, that would have sucked to figure that out once you're in the air.
And that's why we pre-flight.
That's right. That's exactly why. So, but anyways, we've got, I think, 25 hours of flying on that mineral oil since that cylinder got replaced, and then it will be back into normal flying status. So it's getting closer. I can't wait to get back up into it. And I asked him, I said, did it sound quieter inside the cabin with all this new leather and so forth? And he said it did. It sounded more solid and just not quite as noisy. So I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely.
So, anywho, that about wraps it up for me. What's up with you? You went flying a little before me, right?
Yeah, it was, when was it that I went? 10/20.
Oh, okay.
So I went, back in October. That's right. And, similar situation, you know, with, my grandmother. I was trying to get her up three other times. So actually the past, when I went up in June, when I went up in August, no, June and September, I'd actually tried to get her to go and she couldn't. My family does a family picnic every year. We did at the beginning of October this year. And so we always go rent a pavilion somewhere and just have a nice picnic afternoon. It's pretty awesome. But, so this year I went and I said, okay, I'm not leaving here until we pick a time to do the flight. Because I had promised her, I said, "I'll take you up in 2014. Because she wanted to do, ever since she turned 50, she's always done something she's never done before every year. There's always something. So this year, she said, well, why don't I go, you know, I'll do a flight with you. And mm-hmm. that'll be the, you know, the thing I do for this year. So I was like, all right. So I knew I had a time limit of 2014. So, you know, beginning of October, I'm like, okay, we're setting the date now. So we set the date. And it turns out the weather was beautiful. It was sandwiched in between these two really crappy days. One day was really, really windy. The next day was really, really rainy. So it was like Monday. That was just the perfect day in between. So worked out well. Went and got the plane. Went up and I did about an hour and a half. And I couldn't ask for a better flight. It was just smooth as could be. Really nice.
It's always nice.
Yeah. And what was great was we're still tad early, but we hit the fall colors pretty nicely. So we got a nice, you know, tour of all around basically northwest of Baltimore. I went up towards York and Hanover, Pennsylvania, and some other places. And so it was a lot of nice, like, fields and trees and stuff like that. So she got a really nice tour of the you trees.
In an hour and a half, you can go fly around, like, three different states.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to fathom.
I don't think I actually made it to Pennsylvania, but we were... No, actually, I think we did.
That's fun.
Yeah, I wasn't far from West Virginia, or if I go the other direction, I can hit Jersey and Delaware pretty quickly, so.
Awesome.
But yeah, we just kind of went up, putzed around for a little while. It's funny, my grandmother, she was just, you know, kind of enamored with the whole thing. And so we flew, we flew over her house, because I thought that would be cool. And though I was going to go and fly over her house a little longer, but I was getting directed a little bit by the controller because he had a citation that was trying to go out right after me, and I was pretty much going still on runway heading.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to, like, you know, get out of the way pretty quickly. So I couldn't kind of hang around where I wanted to be. But that's all right. We still got to fly over our house eventually. But went out, and then she's looking around. She's like, oh, this is great. Look at the trees. Look at everything. She's like, what are those? Oh, the fields. They look so cool. And then she's like, what is that? What is that white thing? Oh, that's a fence.
It's a fence.
Yeah. And just little things like that. She saw some, one of those little, this little square pad that you could tell was where they do, horse training. So it's like all the, like, the jumps and stuff like that.
Okay.
And there were horses out at the time. So she could see, she's like, what is that? Are those horses? Those are horses. And she's just getting all excited about it. It was great. She loved it.
That's awesome.
And I had taken my grandfather up. When did I take him up? I took him up, actually last December is when I took him up. It was right after Christmas. That's right. And, she was so excited this time because I think last time when he came back, he was like, just, you know, so excited about the whole thing. This time she was excited because she would get to go back and kind of gloat all afternoon that she went flying instead of him being able to do it. So it was,
well, I bet you the fall colors were nice.
Yeah, they really are. Mm-hmm. It's hard to hit it right, you know, cause I can't fly that often. I can fly about once a month. So, you know, I'm trying to plan in advance about 2 weeks so I can get the airplane, but you never know because it just kind of fluctuates by a week or two every year when it really kind of peaks. And last year I was a little early. This year I was about a week early too, but it still turned out. It was still nice.
Yeah.
So it turned out really well. She had a blast. I had some nice landings too.
Yeah, nice. I'd love to take my mom up someday, but I don't ever see that happen. Number one, she don't live here. And number two, even if she'd come out, whenever she'd come out to visit, I don't think I can do that. I don't think she'll do it. She's been out here before, and I've taken my sister up and some aunt and uncles and stuff, but and I don't have any grandparents living left, so.
Yeah, she was the last one. Now I've taken all four grandparents up.
Nice.
I've taken both parents. And actually, it turns out the other day, I was talking to my stepmom. And when I took my dad up, actually, she just seemed very, like, she never wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. And we're having her housewarming party, and so I'm talking to her, and she's like, yeah, I'll go up. And I'm like, what? She's like, sure. I'm like, I thought you were like anti going up at all. And she's like, no, I'll do it. I was like, all right, I'll throw you on the list.
That's right. You're like, this ain't SpaceX. We have a much better reliability.
SpaceX ain't having no problem.
Or no, they were doing okay. Who was it? The
Orbital Sciences.
The Ares rocket. That's right. They had a little bit of a problem the other day.
The Russian engines.
Well, what can you do?
From
you know?
The 60s. They're literally built in the 60s.
Oh, my gosh. So the warranty's out on those, I guess.
Yeah, they were like refurbished or something like that. I don't know. I was reading an article today, actually, and Elon Musk was talking about how it was like a punchline to a joke or something like that. Mm-hmm. He said it a couple years ago, basically talking about Orbital Sciences and how they're using like these, you know, 50-year-old rockets, rocket engines.
They said that was only the third time they'd used that rocket.
Yeah, but they've had issues on the ground with it.
Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure they've only had like three launches.
And then stinking Virgin Galactic blew up the other day. That was incredible.
Well, I'm less like it blew up and more like it just disintegrated.
Yeah, they were saying that he feathered way too early and it just obviously couldn't handle it's kind of like throwing in full flaps when you're doing 150 knots, you know, when you should only be doing 100.
Yeah. Now here's where I'm confused, right? And this is where I would like any listeners to chime in here, because I've been trying to figure this out. And obviously the media is notoriously just really crappy at getting facts right.
Yeah.
So what I'm
facts.
Trying to...
Is that something that they actually should shoot for? Or
yeah.
Just, you know,
yeah.
Is that a goal?
So
or
here,
a wish? All right,
yeah,
ahead,
I know,
sorry.
Right? Here's my problem. I'm reading these things, and it sounds like... the lever that he flipped was supposed to be flipped after Mach 1, generally at Mach 1.4. Okay? And that unlocked the feather. It did not command the feather. It unlocked the wings, essentially.
Okay.
And from what I understand, it's to keep it from being, I guess, too jittery or something like that. It basically, instead of being completely rigid, it allows it some movement, right?
Okay.
That's how I understand it.
Hmm.
And what happened was, is when he flipped that lever that unlocks the wings, or the tail, I guess, he unlocked it early, it sounded, by like 0.3 Mach, but he was supposed to sometime when he did. And then, what happened was, is that it actually feathered when it shouldn't have actually feathered at that point. So there's a second action that's supposed to happen in the cockpit, if I read it correctly, and that is the actual feather. So there's the unlock, and then there's the feather.
Okay.
He did the unlock when he should, and it was an uncommanded feather after that.
Hmm.
So that's how I read it, and I'd like to know if I'm completely wrong on that and if the facts aren't right. But it sounds like there's two actions. He did the right one at about the right time, possibly too early, and the second action happened uncommanded.
The feather happened without him actually
pulling
the lever or pressing the button to go into feather.
Yeah, that's how I understood it.
Yeah. Well, I'm so surprised that second pilot was able to make it out at all, considering what happened there. But
it sounds like he just found himself all of a sudden outside of it. I don't really know.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
I'm outside. Yeah.
So I'll be intrigued to see what the NTSB has to say on it. And, I mean, it's a shame. It's terrible. And, bad week for private spaceflight, but, they'll rebound. And
man, that seems like the future though, the private spaceflight, because, you know, the, NASA and everything else that goes along with that just seems like it's tough to keep funding and stuff for those programs.
Well, they're getting there. They got Orion going up for its first flight here in December.
Mm.
So a little over a month away, they're going to be doing their first flight, which is a big deal. They're going to do, I think it's one orbit, if I read it correctly. Very elongated orbit, but they're going to go ahead and do that. And
that's an unmanned deal.
Yeah, this one will be unmanned. It's the first flight of the capsule and the not the full space launch system there. It's not the rocket. They're launching this on, I forget which one they're doing. it's one of the ones that it's one of the rockets that's like the Delta or something like that, Atlas, I don't know which one. They're basically taking one of the off the shelf rockets and putting an Orion on it, but it's the first flight for Orion, so it's going to be a big deal.
So, cool. Where are they doing that at?
The Cape.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried to get in the National Social for it, and I'm waitlisted right now, so. I'm trying.
I'd like to see one of those, or space shuttle, you know, if they ever decide to build another one of those someday, take off. You've got a chance to go see one of those, right?
Yeah, I saw Endeavour on its last launch.
Right.
It was something. Mm-hmm. It was, Causeway.
Yeah.
So the closest you could buy tickets. But, yeah, it was definitely, incredible. And, I don't know what it's going to be like with the space launch system when that goes. Sounds like it's a much larger rocket.
Yeah.
Still not quite as big as like the Saturn V, but it's, definitely large. So, if anybody gets a chance to go see that or any of the SpaceX ones, I'm really trying to go to one of the SpaceX ones, especially I want to go to the first one they launch, crew with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny. I just saw a tweet from someone that says Orbital Sciences ditches Soviet era rocket technology.
Oh yeah. They already said they're done with it.
they want their money back.
They were actually planning on being done with it, but, I think they're ditching it earlier than they planned now.
Yeah. Can we get a refund on the few we have left here? We're not interested in these here.
Yeah.
Well, what else is new? You got a new toy recently?
Who, me? Toy?
Yeah.
You
got toys.
Yeah. I got the new iMac. Retina iMac.
Nice.
So, this
27
will be the
glorious inches.
Yep. 5,100 and some pixels wide. I don't know. It's insane.
That's a lot.
So this will be the first episode that'll come out on that.
Nice.
Tora is being exported on this. It's nice. It's helping a lot with the video editing. So
cool.
And hopefully some app development. I have some ideas. One of them would be pilot related.
Cool.
One is coffee related.
Those two are also related.
Yeah, they are. And actually, the coffee one's the idea I had for a while. I actually have a prototype up and running for about a year. I just haven't had time to finish it with all the video editing I've been doing. But I wanted to do a little coffee converter app for crazy people like me.
Nice.
Just to get the water ratios right. And then it's a built-in timer and some other stuff. So I want to get that out soon. It's kind of proof of concept. Just get back into doing development. And then I'm going to work on the big... actually, two ideas I have. One is partially pilot related. It's pilot inspired, I should say. It's something I would use outside of aviation as well. And I think a lot of people could too. So that'll be the third app I'll probably do.
Nice.
But I'm hoping to get some development done on this thing. Mm-hmm. Need to start making some extra side money.
There you go.
It won't be long before I'm sure I have little crazy tiny kids running around.
It's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time. More than 9 months, let me just say that right now. But
yeah.
It won't be long. So
the first one, you know, can come at any time. After that, they take 9 months.
Okay.
Well, anywho, we don't have any of these other losers to
us
interesting aviation stories, so this is going to be kind of a short one for us.
I'm cool with that.
All right. Takes less to render and quicker to get out to both of our listeners. So
yeah, all two of you that are left.
Thank you.
Third one ditched us, I know. That loser.
Hopefully we'll get him back. I promise to fly more. I'll make that vow right now. It's the weather is fantastic. I never did get, you know, this whole summer I had goals of making my own little in-cockpit air conditioning, you know, portable air conditioning unit. I have all the parts in my garage. I've just yet to put it together. Probably because I didn't fly enough to make me really want to do that. So maybe that'll be my my little Christmas break project or something like that, is put that thing together.
Yeah.
Anyways, heading down to Mexico on Friday.
Yeah, you should be flying.
Well,
not driving.
Yeah, and drag the trailer down there. We're doing a little mission trip down to Rocky Point, Mexico, help build a house, and come back on Monday.
Yeah, driving something into Mexico just sounds bizarre to me.
The it's only like a 4-hour drive for me. Funny thing is that that same weekend, supposedly there's going to be a big biker rally down there in Rocky Point, and there's going to be like 8,000 bikers supposedly showing up for this. So that could make for interesting travel trailer towing. See how that goes. Other than that, anything else new for you?
No.
That's about it.
Just, settled into the house now, and I still have to do kind of an every other month flying thing for me, so.
Mm-hmm.
I did October, so next would be December.
There you go.
So I should get one more in before the end of the year. Finally hit 90 hours. I'm at 90.8 right now.
All right.
Looking here, it looks like I've done 184 landings. I've actually reached the point now where I'm pretty close to equal PIC and dual time.
Oh, nice.
So before long, I'll probably surpass my dual with PIC, which will be kind of cool.
Yeah. It's kind of a milestone right there.
Yeah, it looks like it's I got 43.8 PIC and 49.7 dual. So, and actually that's incorrect because as we discussed on my BFR, I should actually have 2 more hours of PIC. I actually haven't gotten that modified in my logbook yet.
Hmm.
Mainly because if I modify it, I lose the endorsement on my flight review. until I have Tim around and I actually remember to bug him about it and have him re-sign it, I can't modify that. So technically, I should have 45.8, so I'm really only about 4 hours away.
A couple more flights, and you'll be there.
Yeah, well, I'm getting close to that 100-hour mark, so...
I need to get signed up with Flights for Life so I can do those blood runs, because I'm over my 100 hours PIC, too.
Nice.
And I still want to start doing some of those, what are they called? Pilots and Paws flights.
Yeah.
Grab some puppies. I don't think Franz wants me to put any dogs in the back of his plane now, though.
I wonder why.
So, I don't know. Maybe if they're small dogs and they're crated and they're, And we put some blankets down, maybe
but
be okay
some
with that.
Iguanas or
yeah,
the pet something class like that. Tarantula that needs to be.
Oh no!
How about snakes?
No snakes. No spiders.
That's right. I went there.
Yeah, we can do some. We can do some dogs, cats, and lizards. That'd be fine. Maybe some birds. So
see, birds will be right at home up there, right?
Yeah, should. I've seen this one guy, his YouTube videos, he goes flying with his bird all the time. He's got this parrot, and he's flying, and the bird's like on his shoulder, or on the yoke, or on the dash, or
that's
on
funny.
His... Yeah, you know, I'm like, all right. I just think about the noise, you know, it's pretty horrendous, you know, I hate that noise. When you take your, if you take your headset off to kind of readjust, and it's just, wow,
yeah.
I'm like going... My very first flight in a small plane was in an Archer, or a Cherokee of some sort, and I remember... The guy didn't have an extra headset for me, and we flew up to Sedona and back, and all I had was that loud engine noise the whole way, and I was like, wow, that's annoying. I can't imagine how they did it back in the day with just using the little in-flight microphone with the speaker.
That must have been incredibly hard to hear.
I just couldn't imagine that, yeah, wouldn't you think?
I mean, I had my batteries die on my ANR this last flight, and man, it was killer after those things died.
Yeah,
because it got harder to hear ATC. I got to, you sure. know, I'm used to hearing ATC now with the nice ANR on and everything. And
absolutely,
yeah.
So, yeah, that'd be a tough one. I know there's several people out there that can remember back in the day that was just the norm. But dang, it's hard to hear anything, let alone try and make out technical, you know, specifications of headings and altitudes and stuff like that. I'm sure people back in the day was like, please repeat. So
I even had to do that a couple of times this flight.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Well, anyways, I think we can call this one a wrap.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Get her done. Be a quick
shout it out.
40 minutes or so. Yeah. What do you got?
I just give a quick shout out to Franz for getting the plane done. Looking forward to catching up with him and getting a flight in it. Shout out to Sal. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Glad we finally got to get that done. And just look forward to the next one.
Cool. I guess the only one I really have is a shout out to my grandmother for finally coming up with me. And I'm really glad that she thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yay for brave grandma.
All four grandparents have thoroughly enjoyed it, and my mother is completely enjoyed it, and so did my dad. So I'm just saying, you know, for all of those people with crazy parents out there that mm-hmm. don't want to fly with them, I mean, my grandma did it. My grandma did it. And she loved it. She loved
my wife's only went up with me twice since I've had my license. Twice.
My wife's only gone up twice.
Yeah. It's sad.
Mm-hmm. My wife also gets a little sick. So,
yeah.
I can understand that. That's the only excuse. It's the only excuse.
Yeah.
anyway, so let's go ahead and remind everyone who has forgotten at this point where they can find us, because I know it's been a while.
Yeah.
We're going to try to keep scheduling these. At least it isn't my editing that's holding it back anymore.
Yeah.
It's just that it's really hard for us to schedule this. So
you got a super fast editing machine now, so.
Yeah, audio has never been my problem.
let's see, it's 10:26 John's time. He had to have this thing up by midnight, I think.
Yeah, okay. I got a job tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And a Tora to work on, so.
Yeah, Tora.
All right, so nice. Anyway, where can we find you on the internet?
Yeah, feel free to look me up on the Twitter at CHOLABAZ, CHOLUBAZ. Same thing for the YouTube channel, Chris Holub on Facebook. And you can shoot me an email at chris@inthepatternpodcast.com.
Awesome. And for me, you can find me at Pilot Conway on pretty much everywhere, including Twitter, with the exception of Facebook, because they have, I don't know, some weird URL schemes. And I believe I'm John L. Conway IV. Could be wrong. Actually, I don't even remember my Facebook. I should probably post the right one. or you can just email me at john@inthepatternpodcast.com or look us all up on the In the Pattern Podcast website. At the bottom of the page, we actually have all four of our Twitters on there, too. For I guess I'll also plug the YouTube channel. YouTube.com/flyOPA is where we've been posting all the other people's airplanes videos that I've been doing a lot of work on. So go check those out, especially Tora. It's coming, I swear. I promise. It's actually, I've watched the whole thing, like, from start to finish. It exists. It's been incredible working on it, and it's just been, I've learned a lot doing it. Nice. And I wanted it to be perfect, and then I've kind of slowly over the last year realized really what I had to work with, and it wasn't going to be what I had in my mind, but it actually turned out to be really well, really nicely done. So very different from what I imagined it to be, and it's been a kind of a journey getting to that point and kind of learning
nice
how these things actually work. So it's the first time we've done something like this, and I think it turned out really well, so look out for that. Anyway, for all of us, the entire podcast, including those two losers who didn't show up tonight, you can reach all of us at podcast@inthepatternpodcast.com. We're also on Twitter as In the Pattern, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/InThePatternPodcast. And make sure to shout out and tell Brad and Mark that they should show up to this podcast.
Hammer them.
Yeah, I should probably stop doing that. One of these days, I'm actually going to miss one. So. and show notes for this episode and other episodes can be found at our website, InThePatternPodcast.com. Go ahead and send us any suggestions, comments, critiques. We'd love to get any feedback. And also, if you get a chance, if you can go to our iTunes page and just go ahead and leave a review. That's going to help us out and let others kind of find the show and help with rankings in iTunes. So if you enjoy it, go ahead and we'd really appreciate it if you did that.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up episode 49. We got one left, the big 5-0.
Yay.
Yeah. Episode 49, that's, the In the Pattern
that's
podcast.
That's a milestone.
It is. It is. We're close. So we'd like to thank all of you for listening and helping us kind of get to this point. So remember, make left traffic. You're cleared for the option.
Find this and other great shows at the Aviation Media Network.
TheVoicesInYourHead.com.
Hey, welcome to episode 49 of the In the Pattern Podcast. Cut. Try that again. It's easy for me to say.
Welcome to the pod crap.
The pod crap.
You know, that Mark guy.
Yeah, what's up with him and all that running? I feel like Jerry Seinfeld. Running, what's that about? Gosh, you got a car. Stupid. Anywho, I don't do a very good Jerry Seinfeld.
No.
No, no.
Not at all.
That'll be all the comedy for today for the End the Pattern podcast. The rest of it, real serious aviation business.
I can tell you. Let me log out my app. Log out. What am I talking about here? You know, that's not helping me find this at all. All right, let's see. Nighttime looks like.
What year was it?
That can't be right. 2010?